Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
My name's Zach, and just a quick introduction to terms of who I am. I'm married to a gal named Megan, and I'm the father of a 3.5-year-old son and a 3.5-year-old daughter and a 1-and-a-bit-year-old son. Sorry, I'm deeply nervous. I kind of am. I'm a bit of a narcissist, and so I'd like just being honest. At times, I struggle with caring about what other people think of me, human. Most of my time right now is given to working in a one-year discipleship program called Omega, Omega Global, which is at Summit Pacific College. I've been there for the last 8 years serving alongside Amber Price. She's the other director within the program, and so we get to mobilize between 30 and 40 young adults across this lower mainland, and then we travel overseas at the end of the year for about 3.5 weeks and get to serve with a number of the people that we saw up there. And so I've been doing that for the last 8 years, but I am a recovering Pharisee. I am deeply in love and in need of grace and forgiveness on a daily basis. I think I find myself subconsciously trying to convince my wife not to leave me. Like, I'm a good person. I really am. And I feel like my kids are at a stage in life where I like have to manipulate them into loving me right now. Like, I vowed to never be that person who would have to like negotiate with my kids. Like, I'm just, what I say is what's going to go, and this is the way that we're going to be. And I can't do it. And so like Ella's almost 4, and she's like chief negotiator in our family. And my son is just like learning. He's like a sign language king right now. And so he negotiates with sign language. And it's frustrating because like I always lose. And so my credentials to be a global worker are quite weak. If we just go here, that's my family on the right. That's Matthew and Amber Price. So the cool thing is that Amber and Matt and us, we're actually going and launching together. We're moving in August as a family. We're working for the same organization. They're called Imagine Thailand. And essentially what we're trying to do is bridge the gap between poverty of mind, so through education, and poverty of body, so through different programs that meet the physical needs, health and wellness programs. My wife is a doula, and she'll be working in maternal care, that side of things. And then the poverty of our heart. The next slide, 99% of Thailand doesn't know Jesus. Only 1% is Christian. And so 94.something% is Buddhist, 4-and-a-bit% is Muslim, and 1% is Christian. But the crazy thing is, in the last few years here, the growth of the Christian population in terms of the year-to-year growth actually exceeds that of the population growth of Thailand year-to-year. And so I believe that Thailand and Southeast Asia are right now on the brink of what we would consider to be revival. There are more people coming to Christ daily than there are people that are being born. That's an amazing thing. And so we're doing our best to join hands with the local church and join hands with the community and through our organization, bring them together and through the different programs, give people an opportunity to meet Jesus. And just a quick story of an example of how we're doing that right now is we've got a learning center down in the south, about 45 minutes or a few, an hour and a bit. I lied in the first service, an hour and a bit from Phuket, this like touristy destination. We planted a learning center, did it about 12 years ago after the tsunami. And we've since planted a children's church in the learning center 2 years ago, and 2 years ago, and then last year, we led missions trips with kids that were 10 to 14 years of age to a refugee camp in the Northwest where some of our work also is, and it was full of those who knew Jesus and those who didn't know Jesus. And through serving at this camp, introducing people to Jesus, a number of the kids who didn't know Jesus who were serving as our leaders actually came to faith. Now, you may or may not agree with that, but that's pretty awesome that Jesus is making his way into the hearts of young kids as they are trying to introduce Jesus to the hearts of other young kids. And so that's some of the work that we do as a whole. So as I mentioned, I'm learning about grace. And what I love about Jesus is that in the same way that he's been sending historically, he is still sending today. And so today I just want to share a little bit about my story with you, my family story with you in terms of how we got to where we are today. And so if you throw the scripture up there, our verse, Living Waters, would we call it like our missions verse for the year? Sure, yeah. So like our missions verse for the year We're going to let you in on that. It's actually found in Romans chapter 10. And so there's this guy named Paul. We've been reading and finding out a little bit about him over the last number of weeks as we've looked at the book of Philippians. And so he's writing to these people in Rome, the church in Rome. And people have asked, like, who did Jesus come for? And Paul's message over and over and over again is like, he's came for everybody. Salvation is for all, for Jew, for Greek, for Gentile, for man, for woman, for young, for old. Jesus has come for everybody. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then we get into this kind of flow of things. And he works backwards in terms of how people come to faith. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And so, Lord, as we turn to the story today and reflect on your word, I pray that you would speak, that we would hear you. We love you. Amen. So I feel like I've been living in this tension for the last 15 years of my life since coming to faith of hearing, of believing, and then going. And this verse that we look at is really about salvation. Like, how does somebody come to Christ? They hear about him, they believe, and then as a result of believing, they go. And in the same way, the way that they hear is because somebody else has gone and has preached it to them. And so it's this cycle or these words of hearing, believing, and then going. I think if we look at our life, is actually these words appear over and over and over again in our lives and will continue to appear over and over again. To hear, to believe, and then to go. And so I didn't grow up in a Christian family. My mom and dad met at this beer festival in the Kootenays and liked each other enough to move in with each other. So they moved to Calgary. And after living with each other for a few years, they thought, hey, like, why don't we get married? So they got married. And after being married, they decided to have kids. And so in 1984, they had my sister. In 1985, they had myself. And in 1986, they had my brother. And they raised us on the golden rule. And the golden rule in our home was treat others the way that you want to be treated. And I don't think my dad, or maybe he did, but when I asked him, he's like, I don't know, it was just kind of what we grew up on in my home too, knew that that was actually grounded in Scripture. The greatest commandment, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so I grew up with a sense of morality, and I think even from a young age, my spirit was hearing God speak. I was totally unaware of it. And I would suggest to many of us today, to all of us today, as a matter of fact, that God is speaking to us, and there's parts of us that we're totally unaware of that are actually hearing and are waiting to respond to him. That one day, what the thing that we hear, we would believe, and then we would do something with what it is that we've believed. And so I grew up in this family that didn't know Christ. And when I was a teenager, I remember hearing my sister cry. She was having a sleepover with one of her friends and got out of my bed. And like up until that point, I had a lot of scars on my body to like tell you of the depth of the relationship that I had with her. We just kind of liked to not like each other. But even still, I was like, someone's making my sister cry. So I went around and I watched her. She's holding the hands of this girl. And I'm like, what is going on? And I asked my sister the next day, I said, well, Chelsea, like, what happened? And she's like, well, last night we were praying. And that night or last night, I was in the parking lot of the church and I became a Christian. I'm like, what? Like, that's unheard of. That doesn't exist in our family. And I watched and I listened as her life and the way she spoke to me and lived towards me convinced me that she was somebody who was different. And I didn't know what it was, but I reflecting on it now and in times past, I know that that was God speaking and there was part of me that was hearing. But would I believe? And so I was hanging out with this guy and his family was Christians, and if I slept over at his house on a Saturday night, then I was required to go to them to church on a Sunday morning. And so it worked in such a way that if I memorize these words and I said them right, then I get a coupon for French fries. And so I've later come to discover that those words were actually like portions of the Bible, and they were called memory verses. And if you memorized them and you said them right, then you would get this coupon for French fries. And so my buddy Will and I would try to posture ourselves at the front of the line so we could do our memory verse, and that my short-term memory was sharp enough then, not so much now, to be able to memorize it, give it to them, grab my coupon, run out the door to Burger Baron across the street, Harvey Drive, Kelowna, I please hope it's there still, come back, eating our French fries, and our friends would finish reading the scripture, and life was good. And while I was going to that church, there was some wild stuff that was happening there. People were standing up on chairs and pretending to be eagles. Another person came forward and said, God made my teeth gold. But what was crazy is that I watched person after person come to Christ through that, and God in his graciousness was speaking to my heart, and something was hearing it. And so one night after, like a Sunday night, I was lying in bed next to Will on a cot. I should clarify that. And so I was lying on the cot next to Will, and we're talking about heaven and hell and everything in between, and Will tells me like what it means to follow Jesus, and I'm scared of going to hell, and so I ask him what I need to do to not go to hell, and so he teaches me how to pray, and I leave that, and I think it just means to stop saying bad words and instead say like frick and shoot and heck and gosh instead of the other things, right? Because like good Christians don't swear. They just replace words with other ones. But they think the bad word, but they say a good one. So that was me. I thought that's what faith was about. Hearing I had believed. And I remember I was 15 years old, and I went to this thing called History Maker, and I'm standing as a cynic up along the top, looking down between 2,000 and 3,000 students, and we're singing the song, Jesus, I believe in you, and I would go to the end of the earth. You know that one? Probably doesn't sound like that. But I'm singing this song, and I'm like, what would it look like if these 3,000 people or 2,000 to 3,000 people actually went to the end of the earth, like as if they would do that? And it was like one of those moments, not an audible voice, but it's like God spoke very clearly to my heart. And he said, well, would you go? I was like, cynic, teenage, I know what's going on. I'm like, why'd I go to the ends of the earth if you haven't done in my family and in my community and my school what you'd want me to go to the ends of the earth for? And if I was God, I would have been like, eat it. But that wasn't him. And he kind of said, okay, watch. And so over the next year, I watched as my brother came to Christ, my mom and my dad came to Christ, and then my grandma came to Christ, and then God gave us a vision to see our school come to Christ. So we saw 100 to 150 of our friends come to Christ, leading teachers, history teacher, biology teacher to Christ in our classroom. Our principal all but gave us the keys to the school and said, our school has never been like this before. Like, whatever you want to do, just do it. It's like, all right. So if you've done it in my family, if you've done it in my community, if you've done it in my church, could you do it? To the ends of the earth. And he leads me to Bible college, some place that I never thought that I would go before. Again, heard, believed, like, yeah, God, maybe for a year I would do that. And I head to Bible college, and like saying yes to God often works. Like you say yes to him once, and they just kind of like a series of yeses end up coming, and there's no regrets then. And I go to Bible college, and through going to Bible college, I end up serving in this intercultural program and head to Russia and Ukraine and Czech Republic, Guatemala, El Salvador, all over the place, continuing to hear God, believe that what he did in my family, what he did in my community, what he did in my school, that maybe he would do it to the ends of the earth, and I actually watched him do it. I remember speaking, sharing my story at one point in another nation and asking kids if they wanted to know Jesus, and some kids put up their hand, and I was almost surprised. I was like, God, like you like actually want the whole world to know who you are, and like you're willing to let me be part of that. That's crazy. He's like, yeah, you heard, Zach, you believed. Now these kids are hearing, they're believing, and watch as I send them to their nations too. Oh, I think I could do this for the rest of my life. Graduated from Bible college, and there was this infatuation with South Sudan, and for whatever reason, I couldn't get in there. You needed to have, at the time, like, have worked for an organization in order to go work for an organization there, and I'm like 21 years old. I've never been to South Sudan, never worked in a high-security area before, and so I get an opportunity to work in Kenya. Stuff kind of goes weird. I'm told my passport's expired, my visa's not working out, and what later came to discover is the organization that I was working for was just trying to nationalize, like have everything ran by nationals, which was a great idea, but they were, through corruption, forcing all the expats out. And so I was caught in that, and I remember being like, God, like, I thought I heard you. I believe that this is where you had called me to be. This is what you called me to do. And now you're like forcing me out of an organization. Like, what are you doing? And he's like, no, like I've still sent you. Just wait. So like long story short, I waited. And I ended up meeting through a series of crazy events, a guy at a restaurant. I was just hanging out with some people. And they were talking to this guy who was the director of an organization. And they had opened a hospital in South Sudan. And he's like, hey, would you be interested in helping go and manage this hospital in South Sudan? I'm like, oh, so I'm like, got a pastoral theology degree. Like, oh, like no training in medicine. Mm-hmm. Like ever managed a group of people before? Like kind of, but not really. Like, and he's like, well, why don't you send us your testimony? I'm like, my testimony, like how I came to Jesus? He's like, yep, I want to give that to our board. I'm like, okay. A few weeks later, I get an email from him. He's like, hey, pack your bags, getting on an airplane. I'm going to need you to be helping run this hospital that's in Nakot, South Sudan. I'm like, what? And it was like God freeze framed my life, brought me back to a conversation that I'd had with an old gentleman who'd been a global worker on the fields in Africa for years. And he had said over some stale brownies and like frozen ice cream, like, Zach, God doesn't care about your abilities. He cares about your availability. Make yourself available to God and he'll give you what it is that you need to do, what it is that he's called you to do, where it is that he's called you to be. And I just ate those words and I was like, oh man, what does that look like? Thought that I was going to be in Africa for the rest of my life because I'd heard, I believed this is what was it. The contract came to a close and I came back to Canada and I was like ready to go. I had a contract set up for another organization there, thought I was going to be starting. And God's like, wait. I'm like, wait, I thought I heard you say go. Like, I believe in who I am, that this is what I'm supposed to do. And he's like, wait. A month later, I find myself driving down Mission Highway towards Rocco's Diner for a good milkshake, Mission Milkshake's best. And I drive down the road. I'm 21 years old, and the president of Summit Pacific College says, hey, we'd love you to consider directing the Omega Global Program, a one-year discipleship program here. Like, I'd served in that program as a student for a few years. I had gone to it 4 years ago. I'm like, I'm turning 22 in a few months. Like, I'm 21. You want me to work? I don't even have my master's. And he's like, think about it. Pray about it. So I thought about it, prayed about it. I don't need to bore you with the details. Came back and said, all right. He's like, it's only for 1 year. Just for 1 year. And I said, well, good. Like, probably good for you and probably good for me. And here I am 8 years later, because that was the place that God had sent me to be working with students. Like I was telling you earlier, we do about 10,000 hours of volunteer service in the Lower Mainland, partnered with five different churches, five different not-for-profits or organizations. In the last like 8 to 10 years, we've sent $250,000 to the field through young adults, full-time school. It's just crazy, neat stuff. There's some people in this room that have been part of it. But that's what being sent meant then. And along the way, I met my wife, Megan, who had gone to university on a track scholarship, and so she was doing race walking. It's like, this is a really neat thing. I'll show you. It looks like this. Can't bend your knee. Also get a card, a yellow one. Can't lift. Will you do it? Oh, stud. You're going. All right, come on. Megan Huzzy, that was her name before Wiley. It was hard for her to change her name. Anyways, so I meet because like her whole legacy was tied in her name. Hey, I'm watching for you. So I meet her. She'd gone to university on a track scholarship. And so like, God, where have you sent us? Well, obviously to the racewalking community. I'm like, yeah, I always dreamed of that. And so I would jump on a bike on Saturdays because that's the best I could do to keep up with these people who were racewalking a kilometer in less than 4 minutes. You try to run a kilometer in less than 4 minutes, and these people are racewalking a kilometer for 2 hours. They would do that. And I would ride a bike and you'd give them water. And those people, again, were who God had sent us to. We heard, we believed, and so we were faithful to serving there as we were faithful to serving at the college. My wife became a doula, and so she continues to hear and believe that God would use her where she is currently as a doula, like a birthing coach. And so she's doing that. And about 2 years ago, we sensed change was coming. One of my coworkers was moving to Thailand, and she's going to get married. I'm like, oh, maybe it's time for us to go. And so I said to my wife, like, Megs, I think there's a shift that's going to be happening in our life. Like, not sure what it is, but I've just sensed a shift. And then Laura leaves. And I'm like, oh, maybe that was it. And then we hear that Living Waters is planting a church. I'm like, maybe this is it. Like, maybe that's it. And but there's this thing inside of me that's like, what about that when we were friends, when we were dating? What about when I was 15 and God said, well, would you go? Like, when's that going to happen? And so I said to Megs, I think it's time for us to consider going, like, for a long time. And the simple short version of the story is she said no. We had a 2-year-old and she's like, no, our roots are here. Our family's here. This is where we are. Like, you love your job. You love what you're doing. Like, why? Why would we go now? And she wasn't saying never, but I was like a 3-year-old and I was like, what? That's not in my theology. You can't say no to God. And like conversation after conversation, usually like after 10 o'clock at night, worst time to have conversations, I would get like frustrated and then I would let the sun go down in my anger as I would like roll over and be like, this is ridiculous. And honestly, like there is times where we had to ask a serious question and it's like, God, did we convince ourselves of like things that existed and went like, did I lie to Megan and pretend to be something that I'm not? And Megan, did you lie to me and pretend that you actually wanted to go live overseas for the rest of your life one day? Like, did we convince ourselves to marry each other? We quickly came to realize, like, no, we hadn't lied to each other, but this was the tension that exists when you hear and you're moving to that place of belief and that place of sending. And so there's a lot of tension that existed in there. And almost a year ago in March, Leanne McAllister, we're like sitting right there, like in that area. Megan's there. I'm there. Megan's listening to God. God's speaking. I'm quiet. And we get home and we're supposed to be going to the aquarium. And Megan says, hey, I'm like, let's go. I'm ready to go. And I'm like, no way. Like, our kids are going to be miserable if we go. She's like, no. Like, I'm ready to head overseas. Along the way, she had said to me, like, well, I'll go for like 1, maybe 2 years, but that's like just for you. Like, I want to honor you. Like, if you want to do that, I'm willing to go for like 1 or 2 years. And I was like, if it's not forever, it's never. And so I did. I was kind of like a 3-year-old, but I was like a grown adult. We pretend we are not like that as adults, but we are. We just throw those tantrums in our mind. And so I was having the tantrum in my mind, and sometimes it came out of my mouth, okay? Just confession. And so I was like, for how long? And she's like, forever. Like, what? I was kind of frustrated with God, to be honest with you, because I thought that I would be the one who would convince her that we're going. That I would confirm things, that I would affirm, that I would just say something that would just like tickle her heart, and she'd be like, oh yeah, like the Lord spoke to me too, and let's go. And you think like that's the way it should be, right? And then the angels start singing, but it wasn't like that at all. And so I was quickly humbled and began to step back and think, like, God, here you are again speaking. Someone is hearing. They're beginning to believe, and now they're willing to go. And so the thing with all of that and all the story to that point in place is that there were a series. There was dozens of people who came into our life. And the reason they came into our life and said the things that they did is because at some point they had heard God. They had believed what it is that he had spoken into them, and they were willing to go wherever it was that God had sent them. And for a time, it was our high school. For a time, it was our family. For a time, it was a race walking community. For a time, it's been doing it. For a time, it's been at Summit Pacific College in the Omega program. But the reason why I was able to hear is because somebody else was faithful to hear, to believe, and to go. And the reason why others will hear and believe is because we will be faithful to hear, to believe, and to go. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so the crappy part is that it took, are we allowed to say that? Sorry. Is that it took me a really long time to get and to understand that what God was asking for was just like, will you? Not like, will you go somewhere? It wasn't about a place. It wasn't about a time. It wasn't about a how, a strategy. I kept imposing all of those things on it. He just was saying like, will you? Will you? Like, yeah, I'll go here and this time and this time and this time. And he's like, no, just will you? 100 years ago, there was a group of people that met in Edinburgh, Scotland, 1910. 1,200 of them meet. It's this missions conference. They're trying to figure out how we're going to save the rest of the world. It's 1910, so they probably took boats and trains and stuff to get there. No planes, right? And of the 1,200 that were there, only 20 of the people were from what we would know as the majority world today, so third world or developing world. So only 20, less than 20 actually, were there from there, were from this majority world. And they were talking about things of how do we reach the Muslim community, how do we plant churches in indigenous communities, like all stuff that we're dealing with here today. But 100 years ago, they were thinking about that, pretty progressive. And they end up coining this phrase, and the phrase that they coin is from the West to the rest. Because the belief was is that Christianity was from the West and it was going to go to the rest. And so from that place, these 1,200 delegates from different countries and organizations and whatnot went. And if you look at the last 100 years of history in the world, we actually saw them complete that mission and continue to see it today. The majority world would be Latin America, Africa, Asia, those nations within those areas. Those countries now are more Christian, most of them, than the West is. And so they've been successful in, they were successful in hearing, they were successful in believing, and they were successful in going. And here we are 100 years later. The tipping point was about the year 2000 when we saw that there's actually more people of faith in the rest of the world than there is in the West of the world. A new phrase was coined, which should just amp us right up. And it's this: from anywhere to everywhere. From anywhere to everywhere. Man, that sets us free. That's why anywhere is Willoughby. That's why anywhere and everywhere is here in Fort Langley. That's why anywhere and everywhere is the Lower Mainland. And so in the same way that God called us to be faithful, to be sent to my family, and to be sent to my community, and to be sent now even to my family, and to be sent to the women that Megan deals with, to be sent with these students who are in track and university, to be sent to the students who are at the Bible college, now God has said, I'm sending you to a nation that you never thought that you'd be going to. Working with a people group that you never thought you'd be working with. And I look back and I think, like, man, God, would have I been willing to go had I not been willing to hear, to believe, and to go at all those different points in my life that you gave an opportunity for me to hear, to believe, and to go. And so all these moments, again, happen as a result of others hearing, others seeing, others believing, and others going. God has sent people. He sent a son. He is still sending today, and he will continue to send other people. In Isaiah chapter 6, a classic portion of scripture, we read this guy who hears the voice of God saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah responds in this iconic way that probably sticks out to many of us. And he says, here am I. Send me. He heard, he believed, and he went. Today, are we hearing? Are we believing? And are we going? The message of salvation is for all. Not for any particular people group, but for all particular people groups. For anywhere, for everywhere. And God, in his graciousness, has called us into partnering with him and seeing as many people come to him as we could possibly imagine. And so I'm grateful that there are those who are still hearing, there are those that are still believing, and there are those that are still going. And I thank you for being a model of that to us and our family, being part of Living Waters, planting, hearing, believing that God would want to do something in this community. And then being willing to send people or being willing to go yourself. Let's pray. Jesus, again, I just thank you that you've never stopped pursuing humanity with a desire for them to know you, to be loved by you, God, to understand your forgiveness and for your grace. And God, I thank you that your word tells us that anybody who calls on you will be saved. God, if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that you are Lord, we will be saved. And so, Lord, thank you that you've given us ears, physical and spiritual ones, to hear. Would these people hear your voice today? God, would we believe that you, who's began a good work, would bring it to completion within us? And Lord, would we continue to be people who are willing to go to our homes, God, to our workplaces, to our schools, to our communities, Lord, that even more, God, anywhere and everywhere would know who you are. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks.
Zach, for sharing with us. And as we wrap up here, we want to send you away with these cards. And there's more available at the back. So you can take both. You can take the pledge card to consider and pray about how we might support our global work initiatives this year. And also you can take this other card, which has all our global workers listed on it. You can put it on your fridge or somewhere where you can remember to pray for them. And there's more information about all of them, actually, on the website as well. So all we're asking is that you take this away this week, pray, and ask God what he would want for you to do in connection with this, but also in connection with what Zach was talking about. Many of us, probably as we're sitting here listening to the different stories, we're wondering, where is God sending us? Or where has God sent us already? And how can we believe and go to people and be available for them, not concerned about our ability, but more about our availability? So hopefully God's bringing people to your mind that he might be sending you to in your neighborhood, in your school, your workplace, in your home as well. So have a great rest of your Sunday. Next week, we're going to hear from Darcy McAllister, who's a member of our community also, and he trains and sends global workers all around the world, and we're excited to hear some stories from him. So have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll see you next week, if not before. Bless you.